Well, good morning, everyone. I'm so glad that you're here with us, and it's good to see some faces that haven't been here in a while as well. So you're back, and I'm glad that you're here and you're coming back to join us again. It's a pleasure to see you. And we're going to be talking about making it count. We've been going through a series called Making It Count, and then today we're going to be looking at making your prayers count. And again, we'll be in Psalms chapter 5. If you want to open up your Bibles there to follow along, I encourage you to do so. But this is called making it count. You only get one life to live, so you want to make it count for both now and for eternity as well. And so far we've looked at making your work count, we've looked at making your rest count, making your faith count, we looked at last week, and today we're going to be talking about making your prayers count. So with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. And Lord, as we think about even the concept of prayer, being able to communicate with the God of this universe, our Creator, and you allowing us to have that opportunity and teach us, Lord, to do that. Lord, this is something you want from us. This is something you expect from us. And Lord, what an honor it is to be able to have that communication where we can just sit down and just talk to you and we can hear from you. And so, Lord, I pray that as we look at this concept of prayer here this morning, that you will guide our hearts, help us to see your truth and your word. We ask it all in Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Charles Spurgeon once said, it is a reading age, it is a preaching age, it is a working age, but it is not a praying age. And sadly, that can be said probably about almost any age. And even though we may not live in a praying age, we are still called to be praying people. Everyone prays sometimes. Even the atheist prays in the foxhole, has been said. You may never have been in a foxhole, but if you've hit some turbulence in a plane, you probably have thrown up a prayer and pray and ask God to help you. Everyone prays, but not everybody prays the same. So how do you make your prayers count? How can you make your prayers an important part of your life that indeed changes your lives and also the lives of those around you as well? There are many things that we could say about prayer, and we could certainly, we won't get into to all of those in a single message here today. I've got like a stack of books this long about, you know, all the things that we can talk about with prayer. And so it's a very complex and a very comprehensive subject, so we're not going to be hitting everything. But today I want to highlight just four key points about prayer from the Bible that will help you make your prayer count here this morning. First of all, first thing I want you to see is pray early. Pray early. In Psalms chapter 5, verse 3, I want you to see there that morning prayers sort of set the tone for the day. Morning prayers set the tone for the day. In Psalms chapter 5, verse 3 says, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. David is a man of prayer here, and he is talking about his prayer life as we just, Jedediah just read here this morning. And he was also known as a man after God's own heart. And I believe that one of the reasons why he was a man after God's own heart was because of his prayer life. Early in the morning, prayer holds an important place in Scripture. And the lives of the believers throughout the ages bear witness of this to this significance. And this goes even beyond David. We learn a lot about prayer from David. But there were others in Scripture who often spent time in morning prayer as well. Now, for many of us, there are only two problems with this whole idea of morning prayer. Number one, it's early. And number two, it's morning. A lot of us have an issue with that. We don't do well with either one of those. So why should we seek to practice early morning prayers? Well, morning prayers set the tone for your day, as we mentioned. David rose up early for prayer, and it made a difference in his life. Meeting God in the morning is something that we should be striving to do. Morning prayers sort of sets that tone for that day. It sort of gives you the opportunity to lay out your request before Him. and allow God to give you the peace and the confidence throughout your day. God heard his prayers, and David carried an attitude of expectation into the rest of his waking hours. And I love what Robert McCurry Machane wrote about early morning prayer. He said this, he says, "I ought to pray before seeing anyone. Often, when I sleep long or I meet with others early, it is 11 or 12 o'clock before I begin secret prayer. This is a wretched system. It is unscriptural. Christ rose before day and went into a solitary place. David said, 'Early will I seek thee. Thou shalt early hear my voice.' Family prayer loses much of its power and sweetness, and I can do no good to those who come to seek from me. The conscience feels guilty. The soul is unfed, and the lamp is not trimmed. Then when in secret prayer, the soul is often out of tune. I feel it is far better to begin with God, to see his face first, to get my soul near him before it is near others." And boy, I like that. And I can testify to that in my life as well. If you put off prayer in the morning, then you're likely to put it off for the rest of the day. Because I don't know about you, but it seems like it just gets squeezed out, doesn't it? There seems like everything just sort of takes priority, and some things just take its place, and you think, oh yeah, I need to do that. And before you know it, the end of the day comes, and you haven't spent time with God. Those that have done most for God in this world have been early on their knees. Ian Bounds says, "He who fritters away the early morning, its opportunities and its freshness in other pursuits than seeking God will make poor headway seeking him in the rest of the day. If God is not first in our thoughts and efforts in the morning, he will be in last place the remainder of the day." How true that is. In Psalms chapter 119, verses 147, we got the right one there, don't we? It says, I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word." Now, we can't all get up before dawn. I realize that, but we can make prayer the first thing that we do in the day. When you start your day with prayer, you are more likely to continue it throughout the day. Don't let prayer get swallowed up by the day. Morning prayer sort of sets the tone for your day. But also understand that God's mercies are new every morning. God's mercies are new every morning. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, it says, "Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassion fails not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." You might not be a morning person, but our God is a morning God. His mercies are new every morning, as we just sang about. Every morning when you wake up, God is watching and waiting to meet with you. Think about that for just a second. The God of this universe, the one who created everything, who created you, he is there waiting on you every morning to commune with you and have a conversation with you and to talk to you. He has fresh grace and mercy for you. You just need to spend time with him to be strengthened for your day. King David knew how to start his day. In Psalm chapter 57, verse 7, it said, "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake, my glory. Awake the lute and the harp. I will awaken the dawn." Begin your day with prayer. Lay hold of God's mercies that he has for you in Christ Jesus. God's mercies are new every morning. But also notice Jesus sets the example. He sets the example for you and me. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight," notice that, "he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." Jesus knew the importance of starting the day off right. He got up early while it was still dark, and he spent time with his Heavenly Father in prayer. He made time alone with God a priority. And that's something I want to encourage you with as well. This is what Jesus demonstrated to us, and this is what we should be doing in our lives as well. Now, some like to take a prayer walk in the mornings. Others, like me, we find the world distracting, and I prefer the quietness of a home or a prayer room or a prayer closet. And you can begin with praise, and then you can move on to confession and thanksgiving, and then you can offer up prayers for your family. One pastor, he says he does a 20-minute walk, and then he goes into 20 minutes of reading God's Word, and he calls that his 2020 spiritual vision. That's how he does it. Whatever system works for you, let me encourage you just to take the time to do it. I find it easier when I have a particular place to go to first thing in the morning where I can meet with God without interruption. That's sort of my prayer time. That's my prayer place that I want to go and spend time with God. And I try my best not to let anything interfere with that. This is why I like getting up early in the morning, because if it's not going to be too long before the emails comes, the text comes, and the phone rings, or someone comes knocking on the door, and I need a time when God and I can sort of just be together and sit down with Him, and we have a coffee together, and we talk and we pray together, and I long for that. And I must confess, I get a little irritated when that doesn't happen, because it really has an impact and it affects the rest of my day. Man, I just feel like, boy, it just seems like I struggle and I can't get things done if I haven't spent time with my Lord in the morning. Joseph Ayling was a pastor in England in the 1600s who wrote about early prayer. And he heard some other tradesmen that were out in town doing their work before he got up, he would exclaim, "Oh, how this shames me. Does not my master deserve more than theirs?" Boy, what a statement. Do you have trouble getting up in the morning? Well, there's an easy fix for that. Go to bed earlier. Go to bed earlier and wake up earlier. Do you have to work a late night schedule? Well, then think of terms of first rather than early. For you, early might mean 11 a.m. or it might mean noon, but still, make prayers the first thing that we do when we wake up. And if you're getting up with the rest of the family is up and the house is busy and everything's buzzing, and when you may need to find a secluded place where you can go to and you can have your time of prayer. Many of you are probably familiar with Susanna Wesley. She was well known for her prayer time. She was mother of John and Charles Wesley, who were the founders of Methodism. And at one point in her life, her husband had left her for a year with the kids because they had a dispute. And so he just left and walked out and left her for about a year. But her unwavering faith ensured that she didn't miss her prayer times. And she wanted to make that a point for her kids as well. And this is even more remarkable when you realize that she had 19 children. What's your excuse? 19 children. Imagine that. And she taught her children at a very young age that whenever mom sits down and she pulls her apron over her head, that is a sacred time between her and God, and she is spending time with her Lord in prayer. And the kids knew that whenever she put that apron on, we don't go interrupt mom. That's her time with the Lord. In fact, she even taught them to play quietly during that time as well. Each day, she would spend 2 hours under that apron in prayer. Even with the absent husband and a house full of kids, she made time for God. If she were to pray for every kid by name and any specific areas of their life that they need pray for, then it would probably take about 2 hours a day praying for 19 kids. Is there a reason why we don't pray? Think about it. Is there a reason why we don't pray? If Susanna Wesley could find time to pray, surely we can as well. There's something very important about starting your day with prayer and giving God first place in your life when it comes to your time and your schedule. Your life begins to change in a significant way when you dedicate the first part of your day to God. And let me encourage you here this morning, if you don't do this, if this is not a discipline that you have actually managed in your life, well, then try it. Let me encourage you, try it. You see if it doesn't make a difference in your life when you go and you put God first. You may say, oh, Dwayne, you don't know what I got on today. I got so much on my plate today. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll make a challenge for you here today. You go and you spend time with God in the morning and you give Him first place in your life and you see if it doesn't help you with the rest of your day. See if it'll help you get through the rest of your day. How things come in place. You'll be amazed by what God can do in your life if you're just willing to give Him first place in your life. Do you want to make your prayers count? Well, then start with this first principle here and pray early. Secondly, what I want you to do is to pray often. Pray often. And with that, you can book in your days with prayer. Book in your days with prayer. In Psalms chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, it says, "Be angry and sin not. Meditate with your heart on your bed, and be still. Selah, offer the sacrifices of righteousness, and put your trust in the Lord." When we're talking about praying in the morning, but it's also important to pray at night when you're going to sleep on your bed. Morning is a good time to sort of lay out your day before the Lord in prayer, and nighttime is a good time to reflect on your day, to confess any sin that you may have committed during the day. Go to the Lord and let's make it right before you go to sleep. Take that time to confess any sin and to thank God for His mercies during that day and to recommit yourself to Him as you rest up for another day. Charles Spurgeon said, "Prayer should be the key of the day and the lock of the night. Devotion should be both the morning and the evening star." And so let me encourage you to sort of book in your day with prayer, but also pray at key points throughout your day as well. Pray at key points throughout your day as well. In Psalm chapter 55, verse 17, it says, "Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice." Evening and morning and at noon, it says. The Jews and the early Christians had set times of prayer throughout the day. Daniel prayed three times a day. And now listen, I don't believe that God would have us be legalistic about this and adhere to certain times of prayer. But we should still stop and pray at key times throughout the day. When you hear of someone in trouble, well, just take time to just stop, pause, and just pray for them. And maybe even pray with them if they've come to you. Whenever God brings someone to your mind, stop and pray for them. And then have other specific times when you will stop and pray. We have specific times of prayer built into our week here at church. We pray before studies and before classes. Whenever we have Bible studies, we have classes and things or events going on, we usually have a time of prayer before those things. And also before the service and during the service and after the service, we have a time of prayer. And if you would like to come and join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 in the morning, what we do is we come in here and they have a team of people who meet in this back room here. And they also have a time of prayer. And oftentimes they're praying for you, those that are sitting in the seats here. Let me encourage you to come and be a part of that. When we meet people during the week, sometimes we'll go and we'll pray for them. It's beneficial to set aside a time, specific times during the day in order to sort of pray throughout your week. Let me encourage you to do that. But also learn to pray without ceasing. Learn to pray without ceasing. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it tells us that we are to pray without ceasing. This is what Paul was sharing with us. He says, hey, you know, you want to pray. You want to make your faith count. Pray without ceasing. Now you might be wondering, well, Dwayne, how in the world can we pray without ceasing? How can we continually be in a state of prayer? I mean, I've got work to do. I can't close my eyes when I'm driving. What does it mean to pray continually? Well, obviously, you cannot engage in the practice of focused prayer 24 hours, 7 days a week. That's not what the meaning is here when it talks about pray without ceasing. Praying without ceasing means that you bring an attitude of prayer into everything that you do. When you begin work, and or maybe when you begin a new task, maybe just take the time to pause and commit that to the Lord in prayer. When something good happens, we'll just pause and thank God for it. When something bad happens, we'll then pray to God about it. There's an old book that the title is Practicing the Presence of God. Well, I love that title. Practicing the Presence of God. As believers, we need to learn how to be aware of God's presence with us in all activities of our day. Prayer is an all-day affair. Dale Moody once said, I never pray more than 5 minutes at a time, but I never go 5 minutes without praying. Now, I'm sure there were times in Moody's life where he spent more than 5 minutes in prayer, but he makes a great point about praying with God throughout the day. Make that a priority in your life. Keep God at the forefront of your mind. Often when we begin a new task, whenever I begin a new task, I'll sort of just take the time to pause, you know, and I sit at my desk and we open up the computer, and then right before I begin, oftentimes I'll just say, okay, God, I need you. Lord, I need your wisdom. Guide me through this. Show me what I need to learn. Show me what I need to put on paper so that I can be a better steward for you. We take the time, anytime we have a new task, to stop and pray. And whenever I complete a task, oftentimes I'll go to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for helping me through that. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you'll be honored in what's been accomplished here today. But also, you want to pray specifically as well. Pray specifically as well. When I say pray specifically, pray for specific people. Oftentimes, you may have individuals that come into your life, and you want to pray for them and lift them up in prayer. And I think this is biblical to do that. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in prayer, in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy. Here we see Paul, he's talking about the people in his church, and he prayed for specific people in the churches that he served. And I think that's something that's important for our church as well. We want to be a praying church. We want to be lifting each other up in prayer. And let me encourage you to do that. If you have some needs and things from time to time, make sure you come and talk to us about it. Let us know that you have some needs. I know people are private sometimes, but sometimes I go and talk to them. How was your week? Oh, yeah, I've been in hospital for the last month. What? I mean, why didn't you tell us? Let us know these things so we can be praying for you. We want to lift you up in prayer. We want to be a praying church. Paul prayed for the specific people in his church, and we need to pray for specific people that God has put into our lives as well. You can try and work off your memory in regards to this, but man, I can only do a good job praying for specific people when I have a list or when I have some connection cards and things that I can help me to remember. My brain is not as good as it used to be, and so I can't remember all these prayer requests that come to me from time to time. So I got to write them down, and I've got to put it in a way that I'll remember these prayer requests. I occasionally receive prayer requests from people in a text or an email, and I appreciate that because I can't rely on my memory to remember all the prayer requests that are out there. There are several ways that we can pray for each other. People close to you, you can pray on a daily basis for. Others, you maybe can assign a day of the week that you can go and pray with them about. When we went over to the States, we had people coming up to us and say, hey, Dwayne and Valerie, you're my Friday prayer group. On Fridays is our day that we pray for you, and we pray for your ministry over in Australia. And it's a great way of doing that as well. For others, you may assign a different day of the week in order to pray for them. On Mondays, you can pray for the church family. Tuesdays, you can pray for your extended family. Wednesdays, you can pray for your leaders. Each day, you can pray for specific people on your list. And I encourage you to do that. And as you fill out the connection cards or ask to be added to the prayer list, listen, it enables us as a church to remember you in prayer. And if you want to get on the prayer list, if you have some things that you want our church to pray for that's not confidential and you want to go on the prayer list, then come let us know. Or you can talk to Rodney there as well, and we can make sure we get you on the prayer list. And then when we come back in here and pray, you've got people in your church that are praying for you. In fact, let me encourage you to come. Come with your prayer request. Come and let these guys back here know, hey, look, I've got an issue in my life that I really need you to pray with me for. And you come and you be a part of that prayer team. And you lift up others who also have prayer needs in their life as well. And so but this week, many of you know that we're packing up and we're going to be moving house. And so I have to be honest that all my prayer cards have now been packed up. So just to let you know, you're not getting any prayer this week, okay? So you're on your own this week until we get moved. But I will try to remember you guys in prayer. But sometimes God will bring people to my mind and I'll just stop and I'll just pray for them right there. Sometimes I'm lying in bed about to go to sleep and then some of your names will pop into my head and it's like, okay, Lord, what's going on there? What's happening? And so we'll stop and we'll pray for them. Sometimes I'm at my computer and your name comes up and the Lord just really burdens my heart for you and I'll just begin to pray for you. And occasionally, if I sense that there is a greater need, I may even send you a text. I may give you a call and say, hey, how's things going? God just put you on my heart. What's happening? Everything okay? And this is how God has worked in my life. And so if there is a need, well, then I pray for God's guidance in order to fulfill that need in your life. Which actually brings us to our next point. Pray for specific needs. Pray for specific needs. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Listen, I don't just pray for my family each morning. I pray for the specific needs that each of our family member has. Once again, a prayer list is helpful in keeping track of various needs. But our church publishes a weekly prayer list with current needs of our church family, and those are distributed in the room behind us at 9:30 on Sunday morning. So let me encourage you to come and be part of our prayer warriors. And we've asked our prayer warriors sometimes to actually take them home and so they can pray over the people throughout the week as well. Let me encourage you to be a part of that. And we can pray for each other's specific needs. But also, we are to pray for specific outcomes. Pray for specific outcomes. In James chapter 4, verse 2, it says, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. It's good to pray for specific people and specific needs. It's good also to pray for specific outcomes. If you don't pray for specific outcomes specifically, how do you know if God has answered your prayers? In James chapter 5, verse 17, it says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months, and he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now, that's a specific prayer with specific outcomes, is it not? Praying for a specific outcome also helps you to discern God's will in a certain matter as well. There have been many times where I've gone and I prayed for something very specific, and God has said no. And you know what? That's okay. That's okay. And now I know that it wasn't His will. I mean, why would I want something that's in my life to happen that I know that it's not God's will? I have specific prayers that I pray for this church. I pray for specific numbers when it comes to congregational growth and giving. How did I arrive at those numbers? Well, I prayed about it. And I believe that those are the numbers that God is leading me to pray about. And each week, I pray that God will grow our church spiritually, numerically, financially, and demographically. I pray for specific outcomes because if I don't pray specifically, I will never know if God has answered my prayer. But also, pray big. Pray big. We serve a mighty God, don't we? Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17 says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you." We serve a mighty God. And He created all things. Nothing is too difficult for our God. There are no tasks too big for God to accomplish. There are no problems too big for God to fix. There are no issues too complicated for God to resolve. We share biblical principles with people from time to time handling difficult situations in their lives, and sometimes their response is, "Dwayne, you know, I just can't do that. I can't do that. Dwayne, you just don't understand." How many of you heard that before? You're right, I probably don't understand. I probably haven't gone through exactly what you have gone through. But it doesn't change the fact that we serve an amazing God, an awesome God, especially when it comes to the area of forgiveness. Boy, this is the one that people have a hard time with. I can't forgive them, Dwayne. Yeah, you can. Why? Because all things are possible with God. Question is, how big is your God? How big is your God? If He tells you to do something, will He not enable you to do it? I mean, we just got through singing the praise chorus. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is mighty than any other, right? And we lift our hands and we sing that in our worship. And we go and we express those words here this morning. But let me ask you a question. Do we really believe it? We can sing it, but do we live it? Why should you pray big? Because we serve a mighty God. But also, Jesus is our mediator. We're more used to thinking about Jesus as our mediator in terms of salvation. And when it comes to salvation, Jesus is our mediator. And as He is the only way to the Father, the Scriptures tell us. In fact, He Himself tells us that He is the only way. There is no other way to Jesus through Him, but through Him. Jesus also is our mediator when it comes to prayer as well. Notice John 14, verse 13. It says, "And whatever you ask in my name," Jesus is talking here, "whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." If you don't positively gasp when you read those words, well, then you didn't read them correctly. This is an amazing verse. Jesus promises that He will do whatever you ask in His name that will bring glory to the Father. Of course, this rules out any selfish or immoral request. But when you go to God the Father in prayer through Jesus, your mediator, well, then you got Jesus on your side. And He will do whatever it takes to bring glory to God the Father. Now, there is an incentive to pray big, yeah? There's an incentive to pray big. But also, pray in faith, believing. In Mark chapter 11, verse 23, it says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." In James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Confess your trespass to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." Watch this. "The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." When we first came to Alkamos, when we arrived here at Alkamos, man, we didn't know anyone in the area. There were a few, maybe some friends of distant friends that we had, but we really hadn't had much connection with them. And when we launched our first Sunday service, we had a few people express interest, but we had no idea how many people would actually walk through the door. And we had bought 100 chairs. And we said, God, I'll buy them, you fill them. And we began to pray about them, and we put them out on that day, and praying that God would fill them. And I about did a backflip when I saw two people show up. It's like, yes, we're not alone. Woo. Somebody's coming. But then soon another followed, and another followed, and soon the room was filled with about 80% capacity. That was a direct answer to our prayer. So don't stop praying for growth of our church. When you pray, pray in faith, believing that you believe that God can do the impossible. You believe that God can do that which you cannot see. When you pray in faith, believing, you pray big because nothing is impossible for our God. So there you have it. We've got four biblical principles here to make your prayer count. There is nothing more exciting than know that God has heard and answered our prayers. And I believe that prayer is probably one of the most greatest untapped resources among Christianity today. And so let's make our prayer count. There's power in prayer to bring the untold blessings and goodness to the world around you and for you to have an impact on those that you come in contact with. You have been given that power in Jesus Christ. So pray early, pray often, pray specific, and pray big. Let's make our faith count. And with that, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for all that you've done for us. And Lord, as we think about prayer, Lord, I know that even in my own life, Lord, I feel like I can do more. I feel like I'm sort of missing out on things sometimes because I don't actually get a chance to spend that time with you. I don't take the opportunity to do so, Lord. And so, God, I pray that you would help us as we go out through the week, Lord. Help us not to be so busy that we sort of put you on the back burner and we forget about you, Lord. I pray that you would have first place in our hearts and lives, and I pray that you would always be on the tip of our tongue, Lord. I pray that you would always be in the forefront of our minds. So that, Lord, as we go throughout the day, Lord, that we're just in constant communication with you. No matter what happens in our lives, Lord, no matter what we go through, no matter what struggles we face, no matter even the good things that we happen in our lives, Lord, I pray that we will always be in contact with you so we can have that communication with you always, Lord, so we can pray without ceasing. And so, Lord, I do thank you once again for the privilege of prayer, the privilege that we have to be in connect with you, to speak to you, to talk to you. And Lord, as we continue to live our lives, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would learn the power of prayer and that we would make our prayer count. And we ask it all in Jesus' name, we do pray.